take your policies and your structures and as known and understood, and let's get to the issues that you want to raise with us. And then the floor is yours. You are most welcome.
Chairperson and Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, we appreciate and thank the committee for the opportunity given to us to come and present our APP. Just for starters, we'll take the opportunity to take the committee through a strategic overview. We won't spend time on the overview and the situational analysis. We'll go right to the organizational reform, and of importance is the programs and the MTEF estimate. But Chair, we really want to say, as part of the presentation today, we are building on last year's improvements that we have seen in the annual report presented last year. So this APP builds on the following strategic interventions. We want to ensure that we accelerate the conversion of allegations into proclamations. We have seen an increase in the proclamation pipeline in this regard. We want to establish the capacity for fraud and corruption prevention through public education and awareness. We want to also continue to monitor and evaluate the impact. I'm on slide number four, Chairperson, as projected. We'd like to monitor, just to say it's page three and four of the APP. We want to monitor and evaluate the impact of SIU objectives, just so that we are sure that we are making the desired impact. We'd like to standardize the manner in which we do cases. Which cases are scoped. We want to also improve on the quality and turnaround times of investigations. We want to expand on the monitoring and evaluation of case management, including a central case registration. This will enable us to track the allegations and the status of investigations so that we can report back to particularly whistleblowers and all of those who reported the cases. For the long-term sustainability of SIU, we are continuing to engage with National Treasury regarding the long-term funding model. We would also want to create and publish sector data intelligence. This is the new strategic focus. We want to also create advisory capacity to prevent the recurrence of cases. We'll take the committee through that, and monitor the implementation of SIU remedial actions. This is a very important aspect of our value chain. In the past, we've seen that we produced reports and referred matters to state institutions, but there was no adequate capacity to follow up on whether the state institutions have implemented our referrals. This is a very critical step in our value chain, as it will help us assess our impact. Chair, the next slide is on page 9 of the APP. It's our vision. It stays unchanged. Our vision remains that we would really want to be the state's preferred and trusted forensic investigation and litigation agency. That we are building on the building blocks and the performance measures to ensure that state institutions prefer SIU rather than go to private companies. On the mission has been amended. On page, if you look at page 10 and later on page 60 of the APP, the current mission was that we are the state's preferred provider of forensic investigating and litigating services, working together with other agencies in the fight to eradicate corruption, malpractice, and maladministration from society. We've amended it, Chair, in line with our strategy and vision. We said with integrity, we would like to investigate serious malpractice or maladministration in the administration of state, as well as any conduct which may seriously harm the interest of the public, and instituting and conducting civil proceedings in any court of law or a special tribunal in our name or on behalf of the state institutions. We will talk more around the special tribunal later on. The mission, as I said, was amended to ensure alignment to the legislative mandate of the SIU. Chair, the next slide really talks to is on page 11 of the APP. It's around our values. We are values-driven as an organization. It's cooperation, teamwork, professionalism, efficiency, independence, drive, and passion, and that really relates more to on our people side, and integrity. If I move on now into the goals, strategic outcomes and oriented goals, we've got three goals in this financial year, Chairperson and honorable members. The first goal deals with what we call enablement functions. Those are the functions that are historically referred to as support services. And we'll come to the programs later on. This is covered in program one. But effectively, we've amended this goal just to ensure that it is outcome-based. We have found that in the past, the goals have really been input-based, not making emphasis on the outcomes that were expected. The current goal, currently it reads effective and efficient organizational management. We've amended it to read enable core services to perform optimally. Because, Chairperson and honorable members, we need to make sure that the enablement functions, support functions, are also measured appropriately. As I said, we have reworded the strategic goal to be outcomes-based. So the goal statement really says is to provide business oversight and enablement services to the core functions of SIU. Chairperson, there's now the strategic objectives which we have included. They are articulated in detail in the detailed targets, but I'll read it just briefly in the interest of time. Strategic objective of this goal is to provide a compliant financial accounting service in accordance with the service delivery standards. We would like to attract a skilled workforce that manages within the performance-driven environment, to provide appropriate IT services in accordance with the set standards, to collaborate with stakeholders in support of enhanced service delivery and core business objectives, to provide support for strategic and organizational performance management. This is on the organizational and individual basis. We'd like to protect the SIU from potential legal risks and other risks in general, to protect the SIU from internal and external threats, to assess internal controls through internal and external audits, to enable the SIU to become a risk intelligence entity. Goal number two, we've also amended it, Chairpersons and honorable members, to ensure that it's also outcomes-based, to ensure accurate measurability. This goal really focuses on the core business of SIU. It's amended to read, to achieve appropriate legal outcomes against perpetrators of maladministration and corruption. The goal statement, we want to ensure timeous prosecution of all reported perpetrators of maladministration and corruption within the state institutions through civil proceedings or disciplinary and criminal referrals. The strategic objectives linked to the goal, we would like to ensure that each case is centrally reported and monitored And this process will be enabled by our IT tools that we have identified. We'd like to ensure that each allegation is assessed in accordance with the standard criteria, and we have already developed guidelines in this regard. To conduct forensic investigations according to predetermined standards, in this regard, we have developed standard operating procedures to ensure that every investigator across the organization understands those standards. To initiate the implementation of legal recommendations, these are all include prosecutions, disciplinary referrals, and other referrals to other regulatory bodies. We want to increase the legal outcomes based on civil and other proceedings. This is where the asset recoveries and monies lost to the state are recovered. And in this regard, the main output this year is to see the establishment or re-establishment of the special tribunal. We'll refer briefly to the funds that have now been allocated, to ensure that special tribunal is set up. Goal number three. This goal, Chairperson and Honourable Members, is a new goal. And this new goal is linked to the new value chain, which is to proactively influence the system and behavioural root causes of maladministration and corruption. We've added this goal, Honourable Chair, simply because we need to ensure that SIU plays a role in the proactive and preventive space of anti-corruption process. In this regard, the goal statement, we want to be a leading, we want to play a leading role in South Africa to prevent fraud and corruption by focusing on societal values and systems that make it difficult to engage in acts of corruption. The strategic objectives in this regard is to direct and influence the external strategic decision-making process through data analytics. We want to be a center of excellence as we are the custodian or repository of anti-corruption or corruption data, just so that we can assist state institutions with the prevention of the reoccurrence of reported cases. We would like to increase public awareness about targeted anti-corruption behavior. This is on the prevention and being proactive. We would do this, Chairperson, through the modeling of corruption risk scenarios to determine areas of exposure, and then that will lead to the improved risk management and control environment of the state institutions. In each regard, Chairperson, we always link our objectives to the National Development Plan, which is spelled out in the APP. Chair, as I indicated, in the interest of time, we'll not spend time on the situational analysis. We do this situational analysis so that we understand the business environment nationally and internationally in which we operate in. We have looked at the Transparency International survey, which has indicated now, the latest survey indicates that South Africa drops from 45 position to 43. Now, we do that so that we can understand what are the key drivers around that, so that working together with other state institutions, particularly members of the anti-corruption task team, so that we can address those issues that are taken into account. Of importance, Transparency International indicates that they have observed that there's a low conviction rate, there's a lack of controls, and moral and societal degeneration. We have taken all this into account, Chair, in coming out with our new strategy. We also look at the research done by Corruption Watch internally, just so that we are able to know what are the corruption risk exposures which state institutions and particularly ourselves can focus at. The next slide, which leads us to page 21 of APP, we have looked at some of the measurable results of SIU over the 5 years. This really just indicates that over the 5 years indicated there, and we start from the period 2012-2013 to 2016-2017, We have determined that we have recovered or prevented losses. All of that combined brings us to the value of 7.1 billion rand, Chairperson. So the system is working, but we have to make sure that we determine areas of improvement, Chairperson. The next slide, as I indicated, is on, if you look at page 25 of the APP, we continuously look at the National Development Plan. We want to assist government to ensure that we build a resilient anti-corruption system. We want to ensure that we contribute to the strengthening of accountability and responsibility of public servants, create transparent and responsive accountable public service, strengthening of judicial services. Chair, the next slide, which is 26 of APP, we just indicated that we play a role in the anti-corruption task team, and this includes various law enforcement agencies. Chair, of importance in that stage, we've added, if you look on the slide, there's a cabinet approval of the amount of 42 million, which in terms of the legislation has to be channeled through a law enforcement agency, because this deals with the assets recovered as a result of criminal activities. So there's a breakdown of those amounts. We are going through SIU to distribute to various agencies, to GCIS, just so that we can support their communication strategy. We're also going to distribute to the team that is responsible for developing the National Anti-Corruption Strategy. We're also going to distribute to the DPSA to ensure that they run with their National School of Governance training. The most important bullet point is for us there, is the last one. There's also an amount which, in conjunction with Department of Justice, has been allocated for the re-establishment of special tribunal. That really gives us comfort that a special tribunal will be realized in this financial year. Chair, the next slide, which is page 27 of APP, we continuously make sure that we are aligned to our MTSF. I won't spend time on that. Chairperson and the honorable members, we would like to also update the committee on our organizational reform. Chairperson, this organizational reform we've presented to the committee before. We've considered the business environment. We have considered the public and shareholder expectations. What is it that they expect from SIU? And that led to a comprehensive case for change. And that case for change will be on an organizational and individual level. We conducted organizational diagnostic and then presented a case for change. That case for change is intended on improving business processes, people management and systems improvement, and governance in general. We have done all of that, Chair, so that we can begin to address all of the issues that we have identified before. What we have done up to now is that we have redesigned the current organizational structure in line with the strategy, and going forward, we are now implementing, or the structure which we will show to the committee is about to be approved, and that structure takes into account the strategic focus. The next slide, which is on page 28 of the APP, is the new operating model, Chairperson. Again, I'll really not go too much into detail on this model, except that the committee is welcome to really ask questions if they have. The model, in brief, makes sure that we refocus SIU to make sure that we focus and empower the provincial offices, so that provincial investigations can be run in the provinces. In the center, there are those proclamations that are national by nature, which will then be focused at national as well. So we have done that, and that takes into account all of our strategic strategic focuses. If can we check page
28? You know we are now failed by the technology.
Yes.
And time is not on our side.
That's right.
Can you try to maybe make sure that you really explain things so that whether we see or not,
that's
we are
right.
able to follow.
Chair, if you look at page, if members have got the APP itself, in the APP, page
that's what they say is not visible. Just read what the essential things really. We don't need the details.
Okay. The essential things on this operating model, Chairperson, is that I see the member has been given a copy of the APP. We want to ensure that there's ring-fenced units for national cases. We want to standardize the quality of service delivery, and we want to make sure that we are adding on preventive activities. This, if you look at the center of the center of that model, we want to ensure that there's focused central support, and also on the left-hand side, ensure that regional stroke provincial cases are focused at in the regions. So that's really the essential part, and you'll see that there's notes on the side. Those notes, we want to empower regional accountability, adding monitoring and evaluation of the remedial actions, and then establishment of data analytics, Chairperson. The next slide, and this is on page 67 of the APP. We wanted to focus on the value chain. The new value chain, Chairperson, is really just the business process. What are we improving in our business process? Our business process refers to the receipt of allegations up until the report. In this value chain, Honorable Chair and members, you'll see that the new steps that have been added is to the last step on the right-hand side. Honorable Chair, it's on page 67 of the APP, and honorable members, the monitoring of the remedial actions of the SIU reports, but also just making sure that we improve on the prevention side of the anti-corruption continuum. Chairperson, of importance also is to make sure that we build an accurate process of case registration, and also focus on the scoping of cases. Chairperson, I will not go into detail on this value chain. It's really just to say what areas of our value chain are we improving on. The next one is the structure, which is also included in the APP. The page of the APP. We'll find the page of the APP. Chair, this structure it takes into account some of the changes that we have done. Of importance is on the business support side, where business support splits. Yeah, it's on page 29 of the APP, Chairperson. The business support, based on the focus that we want to have on IT, business support is the traditional corporate services. So we're splitting with a clear focus on IT and a clear focus on human resources and a clear focus on finance. Remember, the SIU did not have a formal, for example, a formal CFO role, which we are now formalizing in the structure. We are formalizing the IT executive role and the HR executive role. Similarly, on the operations side, we've decided, based on the strategic focus, to also focus on the national investigations, and we've created a role called Program Portfolio Management. In that space, there's going to be the case registrations, scoping and assessments, putting together of proclamations, and making sure that the follow-ups are conducted. That's really the essential changes in this structure. Chair, I need to just emphasize that there's been an extensive and comprehensive consultation with recognized trade unions and the employees, including the executives, and we have signed a collective agreement with the recognized trade union, which is going to regulate the placement of staff. Another important addition is the formalization of provincial office managers, which was not formal before, in line with the focus on empowering the provinces. Chairperson and members, the next slide, which is page 54 of the APP, focuses on the new additions in terms of our strategy, which is the prevention and advisory and market data analytics. I've already alluded to that in terms of why do we bring that in. Chairperson, in the APP, we've included the conversion of allegations into proclamations as an issue that we have determined. We want to make sure that this area is also attended to appropriately. If you can see that graph, in the main, it shows that, you know, the proclamations converted from allegations is lower than the allegations received. If you look at the next slide will really tell us. This one is not in the AP, page 34 of the APP. In essence, the reason why we focus at this area is that we want to make sure that the allegations that are received, if they are not, they don't fall within the scope of SIU, we need to channel the whistleblowers in the right directions appropriately and make sure that we focus on those that SIU has to look at. The next slide focuses on the limitations on the current legislation. Just in brief, that slide is to say we are now in a process of consolidating the proposed legislative changes to the SIU Act, which we will discuss with the Department of Justice, we'll discuss with Presidency, just and so that it goes through the legislative process appropriately. Of importance is to regulate the pre-proclamation process, which has proved to be a bit of a challenge at the moment. Chair, I'm going to pause here because we want to take the committee through the overview of MTEF estimates, and I'll hand over to the CFO so that he can just take the committee quickly through the MTEF estimates. Mr. Andre Fernand.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm going to start on slide 30, and I'll concentrate on the graphs. The tables with the detailed figures are in there, but if you look at the first slide that depicts the makeup of the income of the SIU, to remind members, we run about 60% funded by a government grant from the central fiscus. And over the MTF period...
Perhaps we need to just say, are these graphs in the APP or only in the slides?
The graphs are only in the slides, and it refers to page 36 of the MTF.
Also, speak into the mic.
We don't have this presentation.
And then blame ourselves. Why don't we provide?
The APP...
Here, let's make sure the honourable members have the information before them. Because they should even have had an opportunity to read them before. It was too thick, and then it was too thick to send through. So our committee office is doing well, but the bulky documents are difficult to handle. So we'll apologize to the honorable members for the inconvenience, but proceed because we don't have time.
Thank you. So on the makeup of the income, as I've mentioned, around about 60% of the income is funded, and that would be the black columns. The government grant from the central fiscus, from the 19-year 357 million growing up to a figure of 391 million. And then if you look at the invoicing in terms of Section 5B of the SIU Act, that would be us invoicing after investigations or during investigations the state institutions. That portion makes up around about 40% of the total income on an annual basis, and it grows from 244 million to 305 million over the MTF period. The next slide, to summarize the income and the expenditure then. The revenue I've covered. In terms of the expenses, you'll see that the two main items is the compensation of employees. That rises and that grows around about 10% on average from the 2018-19 year to the 2020-21 year. And the administrative costs grows at around about 7%. The reason for the higher growth in compensation of employees is as a result of us building capacity, more capacity, which is covered on the next slide. For the past 2 years or so, during the organizational review, year and a half, 2 years, the SIU has taken a bit of a holding position in terms of filling of vacancies. So you will notice in the 2018-19 year, currently we're sitting with a headcount of 516 employees, and there's 88 vacancies, which will be filled over the next year, year and a half, rising then to a headcount in the 2019-20 year of 609, with 5 vacancies, and ultimately in the third year, growing to a total headcount of 609. So that is the total headcount. And the final slide, just a breakup or makeup of the split between the two main programs. You would see that investigations, which is our main core operations, makes up 324 million out of the total expenses, and then that constitutes around about 52% over the MTF period. And the remainder, the block in light gray, is for administration and support services, which hovers around about 48%. I'm not going to cover this slide, Chair. That is just the detail of what I've presented in the graphs. If there's any questions on the detail slides, which is then on page 36 of the actual APP document, we can take them afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. The rest is really details of the targets that are in the APP. It details on how many percentage of targets per program. It's all the programs that are included, Chairperson.
Advocate, the public sometimes provides better oversight than ourselves.
Yes.
And they follow up, and nothing falls through the crack. There are issues that have been in the public domain. For instance, the situation in Kandla, where the SIU had to recover some monies or some investigations had to be done, and we were told there were some disciplinary actions within government, and we owe the public an explanation of what has been done, because sometimes we are accused of always talking about the future so that we try to get people to forget the past, which is impacting negatively on their lives. So why are we not taken on board as to where you have had to investigate? What are the outcomes? Are there prosecutions? Are you recovering? And so on. Again, if you run an organization, you will always have disgruntled people, wrongly or rightly. Are there any such situation? Because matters get drawn to our attention of people that are not satisfied. We're not saying that they're entitled to that. And you also had a request to Treasury about the bidding process, and how was that matter resolved? So, you know, be upfront so that we don't turn this committee into an investigation or a court action.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The Inkandla investigation, and that was done similar to all the investigations that we do. In the process of the investigation, there were disciplinary referrals and there were also civil referrals. So on the discipline side, those disciplinary actions were, it was incumbent on the Department of Public Works to take steps to ensure that those disciplinary processes are taken. On the civil side, civil recovery side, Chairperson, on the previous appearance, we did indicate that we have instituted civil recovery process against the architecture who was responsible, and that process, you know, like any other civil process, and hence our call for special tribunal, has taken quite long, simply because in the process there's all sorts of legal technicalities that have been raised by the other party, and of late, recently, the lawyers of the architecture withdrew as lawyers on record. We had to almost start afresh with the new lawyers. I've got a colleague of mine who is in charge of civil litigation, Mr. Fisahi. Mr. Fisahi, if you are able to inform the committee on the latest developments on this matter, please.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Yes, as our head duty pointed out, this matter has met with a number of what can only be called delaying tactics. The new attorneys are now on board. The case is very well advanced. We are at the stage now where pretrial conferences are being held, and we anticipate that the civil claim should be set down within the next few months. We are having the assistance of the Deputy Chief Justice in KwaZulu-Natal, who is managing the matter and ensuring that the matter is now put down for hearing. So hopefully by the next time we appear before this committee, that matter would have been finalized.
Mr. Fisahi, but you know, we don't want that the public should think that we are also playing delaying tactics. So we must be upfront. We must tell the public what is happening and what is not happening, because we owe them explanations. But thank you very much for that update.
Thank you very much, Chair. Particularly on the disciplinary process, Chair, we don't have the data at the moment, because we have to engage with Public Works and find out what became of the disciplinary process, and that is part of our new value chain. We will start with the DPW just for purposes of informing the committee, and we can write back to the committee on what happened to the disciplinary processes that were referred to the...
Because you don't appear before us on a weekly basis, make sure that before you come to us, you follow up with them so that we must know whether you are failing or whether they are failing you, so that refer the concerns to the appropriate parliamentary committee.
We'll do so, Chair. Chair, the next point around disgruntled employees in the organization. Chair, I remember in one of the appearances in the committee, we were appearing sometime last year, you know, October-ish, thereabout. And that was after some one, two, or three articles that appeared in the media. And those media articles clearly indicated, in fact, the last one, they all appeared in the Sunday Independent. And the last article that appeared before we were given the right of reply, indicated that the name of the whistleblower, who is an employee of SIU, was actually mentioned in that article, and that employee is currently undergoing disciplinary process, but for other issues which that person is facing. The process of discipline has been concluded. We're waiting for the outcome of that hearing. But Chairperson, the matters that were in those articles have since been addressed in terms of our responses to the newspaper. We even sat down because we were of the view and are still are of the view that those were malicious and without substance and unfounded, and they have not been proved to be founded up to today. The Auditor General has also been, you know, allowed to look into some of those aspects, and there hasn't been any negative finding on our part. On the contrary, at the end of the financial year, the SIU received, for the first time since its inception, a clean audit. Although we know that the process of audit is sample-based, but those matters were surfaced so that they can be looked at in particular. Chairperson, we also sought the audience of the editor, and the editor listened to us and almost became aware that these allegations were really without substance. And then he gave us the right of reply. We were given almost the whole page where this record, the title of that article was SIU Says the Record Straight. Thank you, Chairperson.
Members, questions, comments?
Chair, firstly, in respect of the matters just referred to, I think we in the difficult position that, and I don't know whether Mr. Mutibi is aware of this, but since then the aggrieved parties have also written to, amongst others, this committee and repeated a number of these allegations, and I must immediately say from where I'm sitting, issues like the deviation in the appointment of the consultants who advised on the organogram and so on must raise certain red flags on the part of Parliament, because if there's not due compliance, then we must always question this. So if you could unpack that for us, it would be helpful in the first instance. But obviously, Chair, I think as Mr. Mutibi has indicated, we will also be awaiting findings of the Auditor General in this regard at this stage. So, but in turning to other issues, Chair, it would be helpful if we could be informed as to any progress or the lack thereof with the re-establishment of the Special Tribunal. In the past, there was a clear intention on the part of the SIU to work towards that. And then also in terms of debt collection and the final funding model of the SIU. In terms of debt collection, in the past we've been informed that there's a reluctance or even an unwillingness on the part of parties against whose findings are made to pay for the costs, and then resultantly there was a consideration given to go and renegotiate the funding model. So if we could be informed as to whether there's been any developments in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mutapo.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members and FIU. Chairperson, SIU is an integrity institution like the public protector, and we expect much from it. Emanating from what Honorable Horn has just said, the issue of appointment of Deloitte consulting. There is a document from National Treasury which also is querying that. So please address this committee on this issue, because it's really very, very critical to us to deviate from normal procurement policies. And again, Chairperson, when one looks at the document, the APP, especially the values, those are highly appreciated, but I think SIU must live up to those, especially integrity, efficiency, and others. And then there were Advocate Mutibi. There were serious allegations in the public domain regarding the workshop which was held last year. And during August month, I don't want to use that word, so-called intimacy workshop. Yes. Also, again, because it keeps on coming, I know within 3 months we'll be celebrating Women's Month, a very important month indeed, so it will keep on surfacing. And as a very special institution of integrity, so please also update us on this issue. And then on the organogram, the slide you refer to, page 32, mine here is page 13, on overview of 2018-19 budget and MTEF estimates relating to human resources headcount numbers. There are, according to this slide, there are 516 warm bodies, current headcount, and then 88 vacancies. Yeah, it's the one. And in terms of the new organizational structure, can you tell this committee, are there any jobs which will be lost? And if so, how do you relate the two with this structure on your page 32 or 13 of mine? And this, if the answer is in the affirmative, this is a very serious deviation from the pronouncements made by His Excellency President Ramaphosa, who on the gala dinner of the Gulf gala dinner, he clearly stated that 2018 will be a very serious year, a year of job creation, a year wherein there will be no job losses. So, please, I will need your comment on that. And again, elsewhere in the APP, I've seen that there were concerns that some employees in the unit have not been vetted. Whereas they are dealing with very, very confidential issues. So also take us through in this regard. Mm. And then again, you in relation to the new organogram, you specifically pointed out that in terms of the old one, there was a business support unit, or there is, which has been split into two in terms of IT, information technology. Chairperson says we must not talk using acronyms. Information technology and HR, human resources. And then, in terms of that, aligning itself also with my initial statement on human resources, how will this then impact on the old establishment, people who are holding this position, will they still be in the system, still be with SIU, or, as you say, you have been consulted with trade unions, executive and affected employees, the placement of staff, what does it mean? Will they still, those people still remain within, or what? And there are also other allegations of saying, if a person is practicing, especially our culture, religion, our religion, being a Sangoma, traditional healer, that person, we are told, is being discriminated against by virtue of that religion in the institution. Is that true? If that is true, really, I personally won't take it for an answer. So your comment on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
With the advocate, you were saying me, then I was free to talk because I'm also an advocate. thank you.
Advocate as well.
Yeah.
You're very good for informing us and the public that we are dealing with highly qualified people from both sides.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. And we welcome the presentation by HCU, Advocate Mutebi. Your presentation was clear and precise. However, we have some clarity seeking questions. The issue of public awareness, I wanted to know your strategy in terms of the outreach programs to municipalities where the most of corruption is very rife. Do you have any plan of training or trying to sensitize the risk management divisions in the municipality? Secondly, it's about the 52 target you promised for the employment equity during this current financial year. How far with it? And all vacancies which you promised that they will be filled in 2018-19. So I wanted to know about that also. In terms of your budget, 2017-2018, did you ever receive any or got any surplus? If so, what happened to the amount of surplus? Did you return it back or did you reserve it or not? The issue of the establishment of the special tribunal. Just want an update, how far, at which stage are you to the establishment of the special tribunal? And can you explain for us the difference between yourself and the Auditor General in terms of the misconduct within the government entities? Because sometimes you work like you are auditors, and while the auditors doing the same job, are you duplicating or you have specific cases you look upon? The youth development. Can you update us about the learnership internship in your organization? Mark, especially about the fourth industrial revolution, young people in the IT expect or dealing with the cyber security or cyber crimes, and how far with the establishment of the legislation which will allow the SIU to gather the data to various public sectors. So the other question which I just want to, the last one, the clarity about your duties, is the SIU specifically mandated to work with the public entity, or they can also grow wings to go to the private sectors. Because now as a country we have a problem of tax erosions by different mining companies and financial illicit flow out of the country. What are you doing as a special investigation unit about that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thing is, if the president issue proclamations, refers them to you, is there anything in law preventing you from telling the public what has been referred to you and what is the progress in this matter? Because however much we can, good work we can do, but if the public doesn't know, it's as good as not done. How many cases have been referred to you? And I think these cases are not anonymous. Are you prevented by law to say, these matters have been referred to us against such and such a department, against such individuals? I think the public have the right to know. We don't have to wait for people to establish organizations called the right to know organizations. We just have to inform our people. And the question is, what measures have you taken or are you taking to ensure that you don't harbor corruptible individuals within your unit? But also, we don't want to micromanage. We have no right to micromanage the SIU, but it may be helpful that you hold meetings with staff so that those who have problems, they must raise those things in staff meetings, because they go to the media and then damage the image of the SIU, and then therefore the credibility of your institution and unnecessarily, and then you have got to spend time explaining yourself as if you are guilty of something. If you can just comment on those issues.
Chairperson, we appreciate the questions. I just want to start off with the one regarding the appointment of Deloitte, and hopefully it gets rested for keeps. When this matter appeared again in the Sunday Independent, and it, from the information provided, it was clear that the information emanated from within. However, the article, and I won't quote it verbatim, it referred to the work that was done almost 10 years ago by Deloitte at SIU. Honorable members, particularly Honorable Horn and Mr. Mutapo, shortly after I assumed this role, I looked at what has been done in the organization with the quest of ensuring that I understand what the process gaps were and what has been done before. And I found that there was a lot of work that was done before. I did then in that quest approach the National Treasury for a deviation, simply because I viewed it as a step that would help us to save costs and also to ensure that the process goes speedily. But that request, although the Treasury they didn't sort of agree or approve of it, but the way, I don't have their response with me, but the manner in which they responded, amongst others, they indicated that it's important to ensure that we follow a process. And they, in fact, advised that we could follow a closed tender process and indicated some of the entities that we could approach, including Deloitte. But, Chairperson, we deliberately then considered that, and we did not go on a closed tender as was suggested. We decided to go on an open tender. And that process was advertised, and every entity that was of the view that it qualifies to apply and bid did apply, and the supply chain process was followed, and it was then appointed in terms of that process. And at the end of that process, Deloitte was appointed. So contrary to the view that there was a deviation, the deviation was considered, even though it fell within the prescripts of the Public Finance Management Act and its regulations. We decided at that stage, having listened to National Treasury, we decided not to go on a or deviation or a closed tender. We went on an open bid. That's where we are, Chairperson. It followed the process, and the process took its course. In terms of the re-establishment of the special tribunal, yes, indeed, we have really been working hard and closely with the Department of Justice to get the special tribunal re-established. It is our view, and it's still our view, that it will really help in fast-tracking the litigation process so that we increase the efficiencies around the recoveries. As I stated, if you look into
one element you didn't address, there's a view that Deloitte has just been your preferred provider, that despite the fact that there were 15 companies that tendered, you still went for Deloitte. Do you have a comment on that?
Chairperson, my comment on that would be that because this was an open bid, there were two committees in terms of the SCM process that considered the process. The first committee is the bid specification, which ensured that the specifications are clear in terms of what we expect. And based on those specifications, the tender was then advertised. It was advertised on all the forums. In particular, there's a platform that's provided by National Treasury where it was advertised. And the bids were received. And as far as our SCM process goes, once the bids are received, there's also committees that sit. Is the bid evaluation and the bid adjudication, right? So the bid adjudication sits and considers the applications and the bids. Once it has said, it recommends to the bid adjudication committee. The bid adjudication committee also sits and then makes a recommendation for an appointment. So, Chair, the process was such that it was considered by all those committees, and the appointment was then made following those processes. Chair, it is my emphatic view that there was no special preference, there was no special.
The whistleblower goes on to say, this organizational design tender was over and above the one Deloitte was paid $28 million in 2009 for organizational review. And this not a scheme, is this not a scheme for anyone who wants to make quick money to use OD as a rationale? What is your comment?
Chair, my comment on that is that, as I indicated, that the work that was done, as I looked at the document, it was done almost 10 years ago. And yes, it was done by Deloitte. But Chair, I would firmly reject that statement, there is no special preference, and the period that elapsed since they did the work and for the time that they bid afresh, Chair, I really reject that statement with the contempt it deserves. That, thank you. Chair, I need to indicate, if you can just take us to slide number 18. Slide number 18 on our presentation indicates the funds that have been allocated from the CARA fund.
This is called CARA, you must explain. I don't want to be
implicated. The CARA in this case stands for Criminal Asset Recovery Account, Chairperson. Yes. So those funds, there's a legislation that regulates the allocation of those funds. So those funds were approved in terms of the processes that are in place. Cabinet approved those amounts. I'm responding now to the reestablishment of the Special Tribunal. Part of what was considered was the funding to reestablish that tribunal. So if you look at that that breakdown, 5 million has been allocated for the establishment of the Special Tribunal. So, Honorable Horn, I'm of the view that with those allocations now in place, we should see a speedy process towards the reestablishment of the Special Tribunal.
In the public domain, it is alleged that you instructed that a circular be concealed from the affected employees. Is there any comment that you want to make in regard to that matter? Because it suggested that you may be covering something up in regard to the stain of matter.
Chairperson, I'm not sure if any of my colleagues is aware of any matter that has been referred to us regarding Steinhoff. We do not have any formal referral relating to Steinhoff. I've never ever had to consider any matter relating to Steinhoff.
And the impact of that Steinhoff scandal on the SIU members, is there any impact?
Chairperson, not that we are aware of. I know that I haven't really applied my mind in so many words, but we haven't received any indication, because I know that from a PIC perspective, there's implications on the pension funds. As far as we are concerned, and we work very closely with our pension fund administrators, there has been no formal referral to us as far as the impact of Steinhoff is concerned.
I don't want to ambush you. Will favor with you with a copy of this document that we have, and request that you respond to us, and so that we don't second guess things. Thank you.
We appreciate that, Chair. I responded as best at the best knowledge perspective, but we will appreciate that document so that we can respond formally. Can just run through some of the
run out of time. With your permission, honorable members, I think if you can just sum up quickly, and then the rest of the questions favor us with a written reply.
We'll really appreciate that, Chair. Just on that aspect, Honourable Member, the matter was also raised with our Audit Committee, and the Auditor General was also favoured with a comprehensive explanation, taking into account that the organisational practice and policy, the appointment of the CFO was aligned with the organisational practice and the policy as practiced before. So up to today, we are satisfied that we have responded appropriately to that, but we can favour the committee with the responses that we have.
Change your logo. You see, a scorpion stings people, and therefore people will also try to sting back. So but thank you very much for the account, and you are well excused, and then we will await further responses in writing as well as a response to these documents, and have a nice day.
If you can just indulge us on the org structure. The organizational structure, I did indicate that we've signed a collective agreement with the recognized trade union. And in that collective agreement, we've said it will regulate the placement of employees from the old structure to the new structure. And that process is underway as we speak. We've got criteria that we will look, best fit, experience, and all of that. And that agreement regulates both executive and non-executive employees. Chair, we have indicated to our staff, and yes, we have done a consultation with all the staff, that below the executives, we are not expecting that there would be any loss of job. That's what we said. Simply because there are no strategic changes in terms of, you know, job roles and so on. But at the executive level, I need to make this point clear. Because of the new strategy of making sure that the organization does not go through another process of not focusing on people management issues or IT issues, we realized that there is a special need to focus on IT and HR, legal risks, and also governance. Remember, we're not focusing only on one area. So at that level, even in operations, right? I'll make an example of Mr. Al-Khetra here. He was the project director. Okay. Yeah. So the role. Some of the roles are misallocated. Some of the roles are allocated. The project director role. We realized that it would add value if there's a focus on national investigations and program portfolio. So what happens is that the current job becomes redundant, and there are processes that we follow. That we are expected to consult with the job incumbent and make sure that we consider any alternative that we can. And these positions are also advertised internally. We have advertised internally. People will apply. If you are fit and you qualify, you'll be appointed. If you do not qualify, given the qualifications or whatever the case may be, we will ensure that we follow the processes as prescribed by the Labour Relations Act.
We advise you to vet people so that you are not infiltrated by people who want to kill the scorpion. Thank you very much. You are well excused.